Hey, Rowdies fans, it's Charlie Dennis.
This is Forrest Lasso.
You're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Is there one final touch to be had? Aaron Guillen, Lasso, elevating,
yeah!
And Musana
Good evening, Rowdies family, and welcome to the Unused Substitute Soccer Show, where we spread the green and gold gospel about the Tampa Bay Rowdies. And we're going to have to lay it on kind of thick tonight after the last two games. I kind of have a feeling that we brought in some extra reinforcements to bring some sermons in here, too. My name is Matthew Cox. I'm joined by my co-host, Ben Wilcox. For the next 45 minutes or so, we're going to talk about the most recent results, team news, and preview this week's upcoming match. But before we get started, we're going to kind of go a little backwards on this. We have, as I mentioned, a special guest here, a man I like to refer to as the Emperor, which seems kind of fitting now considering his being a fan of Roma as well. None other than the stat graphic king himself, the attendance graphic master, Mike Pendleton. Mike, how are you doing tonight?
I'm sad. I'm very sad from yesterday's results, which I wanted to move past and ignore, but you're going to make me think about them again.
Yeah. Let's start off with kind of a happier, more upbeat thing, but there's even some downsides to the next part. The thing we've been trying to get, figure out a date and time that we could get you on and talk about it for. You guys went over to Australia for the World Cup. The Women's World Cup and took in some games. Unfortunately, not the games that you were probably hoping to see in the end overall. But what was the experience like? First of all, were you kissed by anyone from Spain?
I was not. I was one of the few that has not been kissed against my will by an official from the Spanish contingent.
Oh, man. So tell us about the trip. Tell us about the games you saw, just the overall experience. Was this your first time going to a international tournament of this level, at least?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when Copa America came around, the centenario that came to the U.S. a few years back, went to a couple games in Orlando, and was lucky enough to go to the final in New York City or in somewhere in New Jersey or wherever the hell that is. But yeah, I mean, this was a very different experience altogether, for sure.
How long was the flight?
Oh man, it was bad. I had 5 flights to get there.
Oh,
it was rough. It was 4 planned flights to get there, and then 1 flight got screwed up, so we had to take so we went Tampa to Charlotte to Chicago to LA to Sydney to Auckland. It was a lot of hours on a plane.
It's basically the and kind of related to the area you went to. It's kind of like walking into Mordor just to get to the Shire at this point, only by plane.
It was. It definitely was. There were lots of trials and tribulations. We didn't know if we were going to make it in on time. It was wild, but well worth it. Well worth it in the end.
One does not simply fly to Australia, I guess, is the story here.
What was that?
One does not simply fly to Australia.
No, one does not. It is not that straightforward.
All right. So what games did you end up getting to see?
Yeah, so we we spent part of the time in Auckland, part of the time in Australia, mostly in Sydney, but we were a little bit north of in Australia as well. We got to see the final group stage game, US Portugal, which was in Auckland, which was amazing. I mean, result was not what we expected, but we kind of knew from the second group game that we were up against it and that we were going to have to like really put up some goal differential on Portugal in order to make, you know, the knockout that we hoped to see. But it still was a blast. We had great seats.
Uh-oh,
we
got right a little frozen, a little frozen mic there.
Oh. Am I back?
Oh, there you go. We got you.
Yeah, so that was the first game, and it was fun and a blast. And I think the thing, like, it felt like an event, like more than anything I've ever been to before. It really kind of felt like an event. And the second game we got to go to, so the second game we had tickets for was we thought the U.S. would win their group, as like everybody did. So we bought tickets for that knockout in Sydney, thinking the U.S. was going to win their group. And we kind of had a backup plan too, because we went in and it was like, all right, so the U.S., they're kind of up against it. They may not win the group after the second group stage game, but the team that should have finished second in the other group looked like it was going to be Italy. And as a Roma fan, like half of the Italian women's national team are Roma players who just won the Scudetto last year. I was so super psyched. We had Italy jerseys. That was the backup plan. They lose to South Africa. So we got South Africa, Netherlands. And I, you know, South Africa, green and gold, you know, it was pretty, the scarves were green and gold. I wore a Rowdy's jersey in there. It was easy. We went all in on South Africa, who lost. So that was those were the games that we went to. We also went to USA Sweden. We went to the fan watch party in downtown Sydney for USA Sweden, which was a really fun time as well, but they lost. So that was kind of, that was pretty much, you know, our rundown. Had a great time, but we also went to a watch party in the group stage for Italy, and they lost. So, I mean, this was my World Cup experience.
It's basically, it was all your guys' fault.
I think so. Like, pretty much whoever we were rooting for, they were up against it.
So can we blame last night on you also then?
I did watch, you know. So I think so. But I was also there this weekend, you know, and we eked it out in the end. So I don't know.
That's just a byproduct of Hartford being Hartford, I guess.
Yeah, true. True.
Ben, you got any World Cup questions?
I went to the World Cup back in 94 with Belgium, Ireland, Morocco, Mexico, Netherlands. And, you know, one of the things that I experienced is just it was my first big eye-opening world experience. And I'm wondering for someone like you who's gone to a lot of different sporting events across the U.S., explain some World Cup for you. Like, what are some of the things that really stood out for you as far as, like, the atmosphere, as far as the crowds and the fans?
Yeah, it was – so a couple of things were really, really different. Like, I mean, I've gone to good sporting events before, playoffs and lots of different sports and things like that. But you were – and I think this was unique in this World Cup, but Auckland is not, like, a big – Sydney's a really big city. Auckland's a big city, but it is kind of like all of the teams were staying in Auckland, even if they were playing in like Dunedin or Wellington or other places. So it was kind of like, what if St. Pete hosted a World Cup? Like, that's what it felt like. I mean, because it's like the downtown is pretty compact, super walkable, really approachable. You don't feel like you're in a massive place. Yet every single team that was playing in New Zealand in the group stages were all there. So you'd see teams, you'd walk around, everything was World Cup everywhere. Team buses are driving by you. We'd walk by, teams would be on their team walks where you're going out to go get breakfast in the morning. We actually went to one of the islands, like off to, there were some wineries that were like on one of the islands nearby. So we took a ferry, went out there. As we're on our way back, the U.S. women's team is coming off the ferry that we're going about to go back onto. So it was just like, you just felt like you were right in it because you were surrounded by it everywhere. So I think that was one of the things that really felt different. And the crowds there, I mean, we saw like Australia like posted like records all over the place for these games. I mean, the crowds in the U.S. draws anyway, but the crowds in Australia were, and New Zealand were phenomenal. So everybody's into it. The U.S. Portugal game felt like a U.S. home game. I mean, everybody pretty much was there for the U.S. People traveled well. It was a really diverse group of people. I think that not having traveled to a World Cup, I didn't know what to expect. But I mean, you had older couples, younger people coming from college, you know, of all backgrounds. And I think this World Cup team was probably one of the most diverse World Cup teams that we had. And the fan base looked more diverse than I had pictured it looking, which was awesome. I think it was a first. I don't know if it was a first. I haven't traveled to one before, but it was notable and cool.
All right, so like we had said, the results kind of didn't go the way we were expecting, which, you know, after watching the first, I think, two group stage games, I'm not completely surprised by that. We kind of discussed this earlier. It was a mix of a team with several players who may have been a little bit past their prime in terms of being able to compete against some of the countries that have made big advances and kind of caught up a little bit. But also some of the players didn't really play up to the level they could have. And then there's the coaching issue as well. My one big takeaway, and maybe you got to see this more in person, I'm thinking Kelly O'Hara should be the next U.S. Women's national team coach. The job she was doing like from the sidelines at the games. And I'm biased because I love her style and how she plays and the way she gets into games. But that's what I want to see. Do you have any ideas who you think the next women's coach should be?
That's a tough one too, because you want a big name, right? You want somebody that's going to resonate. But at the same time, I mean, I don't know who really will be available. You know, I think that's one of the tough things. It was interesting in the last group or in the last game, the Sweden game, they threw Vlatko's plan out the window and basically said, we're just doing this our way, which I think was phenomenal. It was probably one of the best games. I mean, we were really unlucky in that particular game. It's just sometimes, you know, it's like last night with the Rowdy. Sometimes the ball doesn't go your way, you know, but they played that phenomenally well, you know. And yeah, I was proud.
With a case of personal issues from the opposing team, and you just have to deal with it.
Yeah. Exciting too. There's killers on that team that had their, you know, maybe we didn't see all of what they could do. You know, we didn't see all of what Sophia Smith could do or Trinity Rodman could do. And Kat Macario was out, you know, she was injured, but Naomi Girma had a really great tournament. There's just so many young players here that it should be pretty fun for years to come.
Yeah, I mean, going into the Olympics, no matter who the head coach is, they're going to be better just because of the amount of injured players they're going to have back. You could have almost fielded a whole separate team that maybe could have won a group stage just off the injured players.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you brought it up, so we're going to have to go there. The last two games for the Rowdies, and they've played two games since the last time we did an episode. We'll start out with the ninth one. Rowdies with a 2-1 win over Hartford. Elvis Amos scored for Hartford in the 13th minute. Cal Jennings equalized just before halftime. And Ariel Martinez comes in and gets the – it does exactly – what they brought him in for. And there was a lot of talk coming in about, you know, why are we bringing in a guy that's kind of older, this kind of guy? And when Neil Collins was still here, I asked him about this at training one day, and he's like, look, this is a guy who, when things aren't going well, when you're down, when you're tied, when you're looking for a goal and it's late, this is a guy who doesn't shy away from wanting the ball and he wants to get his shots. And that's exactly what he did. This game was marked by a little bit of controversy because pretty much the entire city of Hartford apparently caught COVID. They had to sign an emergency keeper, and I believe they signed a forward for this game too. So we kind of came into this expecting not to have to fight as hard for it. Not that there wasn't, some contact. We got four yellow cards coming out of the game. Jan Ekra, Charlie Dennis, Aaron Guillen, and Deion Harris all getting yellows as well. Mike, I know you were there because we talked a little bit before and during the first half. What was your thoughts about Saturday night at Al Lang, other than it was just nice to be back at home for once?
Yeah, I mean, it was nervy, right? Like, it was like the one thing we didn't want to have happen. They were really content to sit back, which they did. They were really content to use all of the dark arts, which they did, and that's kind of Hartford anyway, right? But you get the early goal on the counter, and it made it really difficult for us. But I do think the last maybe like 15 or 20 minutes of that were some of the most fun, entertaining, because we just were. Connor Antley had a field day with the left back, I think, that he was kind of trying to take on. I mean, he just ate him for dinner, and we sit in the corner there in the Emperor's box. So it was like, it was cool to be able to see that. And to your point on Martinez, to be able to have Martinez and Lucky, like at the end of a game, you need somebody to make something happen. They're unfazed by it. They can create for themselves. They can finish. It was awesome. It ended up being pretty electric.
To your point, I mean, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you, what were your thoughts on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, look, we had a team coming in the situation that Hartford came in. I mean, look, they had nothing to lose, right? Well, they're coming in with two 25-day signed players. I mean, brand new contracts just to fill out a team. I mean, what did they? They had nothing to lose here. They're already the last team in the league. They were dangerous, and I overlooked them. I think I called 5-0 on this game, so you know, I got my face. I was way off, you know. So I mean, but they came in desperate, and they goal that Ingo scored. Good ball, went screaming to the upper 90. I mean, it was all him. I mean, just a gorgeous goal. But you know, it's off. I mean, Cal Jennings does what he does, gets him behind the back line, creates a goal by taking on the defender. And then Aaron Martinez, exactly like you guys are saying. I mean, look, the whole point of having guys that came in lucky is to not be fazed by the moment, to be cool, calm, and collected, been there, done that. It was just a sweet, beautiful light touch to turn and just that place ball at the inside of the foot. I mean, it was perfect. I mean, look, is it the game we wanted? No, but look, not all games are going to be pretty. And at the end of the day, we got to win, and that's what we needed. So I don't care. Also, any chance we get to beat Antoine Hopinot is always a good day for me. So just saying. That guy, anytime he loses, it's just a good feeling for me. So just that's a personal thing on my end.
I'll take it. Yeah, I was I was in my kind of usual spot right behind the goal. And it was one of those, like, as soon as Amo gets in position to take that shot, I think before he even made contact, I was like, this is a goal. His angle on it. And Connor Sparrow gets a hand on it. I mean, he gets there, but he doesn't, you know, tip it into goal because it was going in either way. He got to it, wasn't able to keep it out. But it was one of those, you could just see that coming. He was able to find those spots, and that's what Amo does. He's a pretty good player. So not surprised by that. Glad to see the fight back though. Glad to see the guys, you know, that were brought here to do specific things, doing exactly those things. Cal Jennings scoring goals and Aaron Martinez scoring goals when you need them the most, because we did not need to go into halftime down 1-0 to Hartford's whatever side that they had out there.
Can we talk about one thing, though?
Yeah. Exactly.
That Charlie Dennis pass for the Cal Jennings goal was unreal. It was, and now I didn't do any like show prep or anything like that. I don't know, you know, like, why would I do that?
Right. So, yeah.
But as I recall it, his body was almost turned. His body was like turned to the left, and he, like, out of the corner of his eye, sees Jennings streaking down on the right side and picked that pass out. I mean, it was, that's the kind of stuff he's been doing all year for us, but it was absolutely like masterful.
He was throwing the ball. I didn't get a chance to see that live. I was watching on the TV, and I thought he was just clearing the ball at the field. I had no idea. And all of a sudden, here comes Jennings into the picture. Like, what in the world? Yeah, I mean, that was beautiful post.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jennings is one of those guys, you know, he's got the ability to get free and get behind people like that. And when he has the break on the guy that he did, kind of like, man, if this isn't a goal, that's going to be an incredibly wasted opportunity. Like, for some players, it's just like, oh, there's a chance. For Cal Jennings, you kind of expect it. If he gets to the edge of the box and the nearest defender is like 3 feet behind him, he's going to find a way to score that.
That touch he took him wide. I mean, if that first touch is a straight a goal, I don't think he needs to beat the two defenders and put that beautiful left foot shot in. I think he just slides it in. I mean, it was just a missed touch, and he still managed to get that one. So that was a good goal created by just his own skill and speed and vision. So, I mean, that was good on him.
Just add it to the reel of reasons why, according to Dan, Charlie Dennis should be the league MVP. 8-9 appearances, whatever it is now, on Team of the Week, and still doing stuff like that. And gets a goal last night too, even though in the end, not the best result. So we'll move on. Memphis and hosts the Rowdies last night. Nikki Law announced just before started the game was out due to personal reasons. I don't want to speculate, but you can infer. I don't know. Memphis gets a goal. Well, Charlie Dennis scores early, gets his 10th of the season, makes this the first time in modern Rowdies history. You've got three goal scorers in double digits with him, JJ Williams and Cal Jennings. Rodrigo Da Costa levels it for Memphis about 8 minutes later, goes into halftime 1-1. Early in the second half, Cal Jennings gets another one, puts the Rowdies up 2-1. Late in the game, Kelly equalizes, levels it again at 2-2 in the 88th minute, and then very, very, very late in stoppage time, a rebound from a penalty is ultimately redirected, goes up as a Forrest Lasso own goal. A little bit of debate whether or not the attacker was offside on the rebound for that one at the end, but Rowdies fall 3-2. Had a chance to move into sole possession of first place, not only in the East, but the entire league last night. Could have gone 2 points ahead of Pittsburgh with a game in hand. Instead, still sitting in second, 1 point back, with some tough stretch of games coming up ahead. Gentlemen, what'd you think about last night? Mike, I'll go with you first.
Oh, that's what I think of last night. I think it was rough. It's a tough place to play. The field is far from ideal. So when you get that deep into the game and you've got a lead, even actually when they conceded, I was like, a point out of this is really not bad. Because it's difficult. We're on the road midweek. That makes it more difficult. So it was just like a punch to the gut. I think that's what I tweeted earlier today, is it was I do think like teams need like that gut check, like as they're kind of going into the playoffs, and hopefully they'll remember it and not do that again. But yeah, it was just a punch to the gut. I don't know that it really deep. Well, we'll have to see, because it's a tough stretch of games after at this point. And, you know, hopefully this doesn't derail us. Hopefully it's more of like a motivator than a derailer. But I suppose we'll see.
Yeah, for right now, even though a little slightly alarming performance against Hartford and then the loss in Memphis, you can kind of chalk it up. You can look at reasons for either of these games to turn out the way they did. Hartford plays a bunch of players that the Rowdies have not seen perform. You go into Memphis again, like you said, a midweek game coming off a tough Saturday game. Looking ahead to Louisville coming in this weekend. Then all of a sudden your head coach is out and you've got a substitute coach standing in, which, you know, the tactics and lineup were probably set, but it's going to come down to the guy on the bench during the game to make adjustments, to make substitutions and stuff like that. And he's going to do it differently because everybody's different. So that's going to have an impact. I'll kind of wait and see where we are this weekend with this Louisville game to before we start taking, you know, whether we're getting concerned or hitting panic buttons yet. Still have a game in hand over Pittsburgh, still, you know, and have them coming to town still for a game. So may have lost a little bit an advantage, or may have wasted an opportunity. But look, we're still a point ahead of Charleston and a game in hand on them. We're same number of games as Louisville, and we're 7 points up on them. It's not time to start getting worried yet. Ben, talk to me about last night.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Mike here. I mean, up until the 87th minute, I'm thinking we're walking out with 1 point, and I'm thinking that's good. You know, I mean, I haven't been happy to walk out against Memphis, who is a good team, tough at home. I mean, they've got home field advantage on that field. It is what it is. I mean, it is awful. I'll just say that. But I mean, look, I mean, I thought we had every opportunity to get out of that game with a point, but defensively, if you look at us, we did not track our attackers back, and they attacked heavy with at least five or six attackers. I'm not going to steal all of John Morrissey's posts from, I think it was earlier today, mm-hmm. But John Ramsey put up a great post about talking about how their offensive tactics absolutely derailed us defensively, and they overloaded us our defense time and time again. And if you look, our three defenders were all back on those goals. It's the guys like Jan Ekblad, those guys who didn't track back with their midfield attackers that were open to make those chances happen. And, you know, I mean, historically, what we've done this year is after a showing like that defensively, we have come back stronger. So I think that's a good thing to look forward to against Louisville, because I think we will show up better prepared. I mean, we'll be less one coach. Hopefully our head coach will be back. But, you know, hey, I mean, no. Oh, also, one thing I want to bring up real quick. Welcome back, Lewis Hilton. It is so nice to see you, my friend.
Yes.
It is so good to see you. I mean, I realize you are not at 100% yet. You are not exactly the Lewis Hilton that walked off the field at the end of last season. But, man, was it good to see you back in the field. Yes, thank you. But, yeah, I mean, this game ended. Look, the penalty was cheap. Look, call it what it was. Forrest Lasso took the guy out. Lasso didn't need to tackle the guy the way he did, and he did. And, look, and I love Forrest. I was hard in the beginning of the season. He has shown me time and time again throughout, you know, ever since about five games in, that he deserves to be the guy who he is, our number one defender. But, man, he has moments like this where he just does plays, you're just like, what are you doing? And in the box in the last, you know, what are we, in second minute over, or how many minutes overtime? 7 minutes overtime, I think is what it was.
That's what I mean,
you just got to be smart enough. Don't give the referee a chance to call the game, you know? I mean, let them take the shot. We've been selling up. What have we been talking about the last 7-8 weeks on the show is that the defense plays a hockey-style defense. You sell your body out. And we have been stopping shots left to right. And we have the number one goalkeeper in the USL who has time and time again kept us in the game. Give him a chance to make the stop. I mean, it just – you didn't need to do that. And it's the difference of us taking over the number one seed instead of staying in second place and only having one game in hand versus two. I think it's a big missed opportunity. So I'm sure the guys are going to be hungry. I guarantee you Forrest is not going to be happy with the way that game ended. You know darn well he's going to want to prove it, especially against Louisville, who he has just as much of a reason to want to beat them as anybody on this team. So, you know, look, this next game is going to be tough, but I don't want to beat them up too bad. But look, if we want to come out of one like this game and it's not into a field player, fine. So be it. It sucks. I would have rather had the win, but whatever. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Thinking about it, couple things we hadn't mentioned yet. First of all, the Rowdies were one of two clubs to clinch a playoff spot Saturday night after they defeated Hartford. And then another Neil Collins move paying off big as Seba Guindotti scores the goal for Indy to defeat Miami. Those two results combined to lock in a playoff spot for the Rowdies. Who knows? Maybe it's a combination of, cause this feels like the earliest we've locked down playoffs in a couple seasons. I have to go back and double check, but just kind of gut feeling, it feels like that. You know, maybe it's a combination of, okay, hey, that part's done. Then the quick turnaround to Memphis, and then yeah, like you said, we didn't even mention this in here. Dobson's filling in for Nicky Law last night. Dobson gets a red card, so will not be available this weekend. Hopefully. Nicky's personal issues have been dealt with, and he is fit and able to return on Saturday, because we're going to need everything we can against Louisville. I mean, they're you know, a little further back of us this year than in usual times. Like normally, we just would have the feeling. I mean, I think it still will. I think Saturday is going to feel like an Eastern Conference final, just because it seems like every other time the Rowdies play Louisville, it's an Eastern Conference final lately. But I think this is going to feel like it, even though they're 7 points back. Memphis was 11 points back going into the game last night. So, you know, the home field it plays a little bit of advantage. There's a lot of factors to this. But I'm excited. I'm looking forward to Louisville. I'm looking forward. We know we're going to have some visitors coming, because Louisville always sends a pretty good contingent. I'm looking forward to seeing some friendly faces before and after the game, and then making fun of them during the game, because you know that's how it goes. But it's going to be an interesting situation. All right, Mike. I don't want to keep too much longer. I know you know we're all old men here, and
you're video.
Yeah. Okay. Let me go into detail about things that have made me feel old today. Number one, my daughter woke up this morning, told me that her former volleyball coach is now pregnant. She just got married last year. She's pregnant this year. And I was like, oh, great. I remember when she was one of my students when she was an eighth grader. So that's number one, making me feel old. And then this afternoon, my daughter's high school announced their new principal, who is the guy that used to teach across the hall from me at my first teaching job back when my daughter was an infant. And now he's the principal of her high school for the remaining few years. So I've had quite enough today of feeling old. I don't need any more of this.
Fair. And to add on that, one of the kids, and I do strongly say kids that I work with, I am the same age as her parents. So, yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
I'm now older than most of my student parents. It was nice for a little while. I had a couple, years there where it's like, oh, wow, you're even older than my parents. And to them, like, their parents are the oldest people in the world. And now all of a sudden, this guy telling bad jokes in history class is actually older than them.
There's a lot of gray in these beards.
Yeah.
My friend.
Yeah, that's why I kind of keep the lighting down so it's not as obvious in mine. You know, Mike has like the great setup with the lights, the HD camera, all this stuff going. Ben and I are over here like we're in a dungeon trying to keep sweat. I mean, there's a reason we don't post the video parts of this and we just do the audio only.
Yeah, but sure, like 5 hit anyways. Good lord, look at this thing.
Mike, thanks for joining us. We've been trying to get you on here for a while and got you doing some other stuff too. Maybe we'll see how it turns out. I look forward to seeing you on Saturday at Superhero Night. I don't know what I'm going to wear. I was in full costume on Saturday for the Skyway Casuals preppy party. It was very warm, wearing a suit jacket with a polo shirt over it and the collar all out. I don't know what I'm doing for this weekend. I don't know where I can find a Luke Mulholland costume. So I don't know how I'm going to do something superhero-ish for this weekend. But Mike, joining us, we will have to have you on again sometime soon, whether or not you're on a 5-leg plane journey to another continent or not.
I mean, it's always fun. Always fun to talk with you guys.
All right, Mike, have a good evening. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you this week. I don't know if you caught on to this, Ben. Like, it's been weird because we're having some weird sound issues within. I've been muting your mic off and on, like when people have been talking, so we're not getting the feedback back through. Because I know at one point,
are you serious again?
Yeah, and I was going to try and mess with it before we got started, but I didn't want to keep Mike too long. So I've kind of been like hitting mute on your mic, and then Mike has a really good camera, and I don't think our setup here was equipped to handle the bandwidth, so his audio was fine, but the video was lagging way behind. it's been one of those nights. But let's talk about this weekend.
Why is my audio so awesome?
I don't know. You were just lucky that way. First off, I got to ask you: do you remember seeing me on Saturday?
Yes.
Okay, because I saw you walk. You were walking by, and I shouted, and you kind of like looked up and waved. And I'm like, he doesn't know where the voice came from. He doesn't recognize me in the outfit. I don't think he knows who that was.
No, you're looking very dapper, my friend. No, you called it out because usually it's Ian and those guys that start doing the Ben chant. But you're always over in the next section over. And it took me something. I had to scroll across. I'm like, there's Matt.
I might want I'm wandering over to a new section this weekend just to see what it's like in some of the other places. Also, I'm not dressing up as anything this weekend because it'd be way too warm. It was so hot in there. Like, it looked good. I liked it, but it was so hot.
You look very sharp, my friend.
Yeah, the part most people missed because they were so in awe of the jacket was I had like knee-high green and gold Argyle socks on as well. With my Tommy Bahama shorts, and I figured that was about as preppy as I could make it.
I mean, you made it work, my friend. I was quite impressed. I think you all did a fine job dressing up based off the picture that I saw posted after the game by the Skyway Casuals.
Oh yeah, there were some great outfits out there. We all had name tags too. We all had preppy names. I was Chaz. It's currently on the back of my phone. The only redeeming thing involving my phone, because after years and years of having a cell phone, for the first time ever, my screen has now been cracked as a result of it was up on the little like ledge part at Al Lang and got knocked off. And even though it has a case on it, two of the corners got a little bit crushed. And so time to get a new phone. Got to do it anyway. All right. there wasn't really any other any kind of big league news, right? We know Nicky was out and Dobson will be out Saturday. But
and talking about the front office, I mean, Nicky Walsh should be back. Ideally, he will be back. But can't say exactly what it is that he missed for, but it was something they were prepared for. So there's every reason to believe that he will be back in time. But should he not be, I'll be curious to see who steps in that role. I mean, it's got to be Eric. I would imagine he's be the next man up. I mean, it's either that or the kit man, which I don't know if you want to go that route. So.
Yeah, I don't remember if you had gotten on when Mike and I were kind of joking about this beforehand. Can we does Barnsley have an international break? Can we get Neil Collins on loan for a game? Can we get John Hackworth on a 25-day deal here or something? Like because we currently, depending on what's going on with the head coach, we at least need a backup at assistant right now, probably. So
yeah, we'll see. John, he just can't have his apartment back. Sorry, John.
Is that where you are now?
Place.
I did not know that. Very nice. Did he leave anything behind for you? Anything?
Pouch that rightfully I did not have to replace. So thanks, John. Appreciate you.
Perfect. All right. So let's take a look at the standings. This was current as of about an hour before we recorded, so around like 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. I don't know if there's games tonight. I just kind of assume there are. We're getting to the point of the season where there's games on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays as they try to get everybody over the finish line. So Pittsburgh still in first place, 51 points, having played 28 games. The Rowdies blew a huge chance. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. 50 points, 1 point behind, 27 games played, still with a game in hand, and a six-pointer coming up in the final home game on October 7th. Charleston Battery, 1 point behind Tampa Bay, but they've played one more game. If Tampa Bay can win games and put together points, they're going to be in fine position. Fourth place right now coming in this weekend's opponent, Louisville City, 27 games played, 43 points. Memphis does a little leapfrogging, gets into fifth place now with 42 points with their win last night. They went from sixth to fifth. Indy, a point behind at 41. Birmingham at 36. And Tulsa has snuck back into the eighth seed now, 32 points. 1 point ahead of Detroit with 31. Miami just behind at 29. And then Loudoun and Hartford are teams that currently exist. So once again, the really what you're keeping an eye on right now are the top three, I would say, because you've got two points separating first, second, and third, and then your eighth, ninth, and tenth place, who's the race for that eighth and last playoff spot, 3 points separating them. Yeah. Loudoun, if they could manage to go on a run and Miami fell apart, maybe they could get into contention there, but I just can't really see that happening. So your top three is going to be some combo of Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, and Charleston, and your eighth seed is going to be Tulsa, Detroit, or Miami. Both Detroit and Miami have a game in hand on Tulsa, so that could factor into it. I don't know if they've all played each other the home and away yet. I have to go look at schedules and see. But this weekend, Louisville comes in with a record of 12-8-7. They are 5-3-5 away. They are 2-1-2 in their last five, and they are currently on a two-game winning streak. Like we said, that's good enough right now for fourth place in the East, the last home playoff game for the first round. Louisville's last match was last weekend and Saturday. They went to Colorado Springs and won 3-2. This is the first time the teams have played in 2023. And, you know, maybe if everything works the way it has the last few years, it'll be the first of three times, because the last couple seasons have all ended in Rowdy's Louisville Eastern Conference Championship games, leading them in goals. And this is where you start to see a little bit of difference between why the Rowdy's are 7 points ahead of them. Led in goals by Cameron Lancaster and William Harris with 5 goals each, Dylan Mayers and Sean Toch with 4 goals, while the Rowdy's have 3 guys in double digits right now. Brian Ownby with 4 assists, Amadou Dia with 3, and 6 other players tied with 2. Lancaster has 41 shots, 16 on target, Harris 29 with 14 on target, and Ownby 24 with 9 on target. Chances, I could not get the proper part of the USL website to load, so I don't have their stats on chances created. Two goalies, Oliver Semmel has been their main goalkeeper, has 53 saves in 22 appearances. Kyle Morton has 11 saves. Semel has kept 11 clean sheets in 22 games. So they are defensively and in the net pretty strong. They've kept clean sheets in half of their games that he's played in. He's also conceded 22 goals. So he averages one goal a game. Morton's conceded 9, but he's only played in like 5 games. So, you know, barring an injury or some kind of weirdness, I would assume you'll see Semel on the weekend. You know, Josh Winder is gone now. He was their stud young player, but his younger brother, I believe it's Elijah, is currently doing very well for the team also. You can look at the records. You can look at them this year. You can see them down in fourth rather than first or second like they usually are and say, this should be a game that we win. It's Rowdies in Louisville, and the last 3 years have shown you anything is that you can't. I hate to use the cliches, but literally throw all of it out the window. It's Tampa Bay and Louisville.
Yep. No, I agree. I mean, like, this may not be the Louisville that we know over the last couple of years, because I don't think they're as good as they were the last few years, but, they're still dangerous. I mean, this is a Louisville team that, quite frankly, doesn't like us, and we don't like them. And those are, I think as a player, you live for those kind of games. So this is a great chance for us to step back kind of regather our thoughts after that Memphis game and really come in with a solid showing. I don't know how this game is going to go. I will say this. I am glad that we're getting them at home first. And if we're going to play them at any point in the season, I'm glad it's been towards the end of the season when we've been playing more consistent, good soccer. But, this is going to be a tough game. I mean, Louisville, they could be the worst team in the league, and it wouldn't matter. I mean, I'd still be afraid because, you still got Owenby and Lancaster, who are very dangerous players. They still have the ability to get in behind, which we've seen we are susceptible to at times. We've just had very good goalkeeping that's kept those chances out of the net. So, I mean, really, anything's possible. But, I mean, like I've said 1,000 times, which is, nothing groundbreaking. If we can get the early goal, we can set the tone. But if we allow them to set in and get an early goal on us, it becomes a much more difficult game for us. Even though we've proven we can come back, at some point we need to take some of these top teams and we really need to put our foot on them and not let off. Steven actually posted an interesting tweet. I think it was yesterday, today. Gosh, my days are all running together. I feel like all I do is ever work anymore.
I know that.
Yeah, but it was basically showing how we've done against the top teams in the East, and it's not a very good record. Now, I would argue that some of those games were at the very beginning of the season when we didn't look very good. I mean, take the two Charleston losses off the board. I mean, I get to the count, but in my mind, I don't take the two Charleston losses for anything more than just the fact that it was a team that wasn't ready yet. Because I think if we play Charleston now, the result's a lot different. So
did we have was Connor Sparrow in goal for either of those games? Because I know they came kind of close back to back. So we weren't at our regular strength in a lot of places. I can't remember if he was in those games or not, though.
Yeah, I can't remember either. And you might be right. I actually forgot about the fact that we started with Adam in goal. I think we started with Philip Bruno, correct?
Yeah, for the first couple of games. So
I think you might be right. He might not have been, at least not for the first one. So I don't know. I mean, I'm excited to see this game. I wish I was going to be there, but I have been working nonstop every single day, and I'm taking the Saturday off to myself. I will be watching this game from the confines of my couch and taking in the result via the TV.
So I'm planning on being there. However, now slightly good news, slightly not so good news. For once, the health setbacks in my house are not me related. On the other hand, the infection I picked up over the summer that put me in the hospital for 4 days somehow managed to last a few more weeks, and now my daughter's picked it up, but she's doing much better. We caught it earlier, but I don't know if she's going to be able to. And if she's not feeling up to going, then I'm going to have to stay home with her because
understood
the way it goes. But I'm hoping she seems like she's feeling better today, so we shall see. We shall see. But yeah, going back, you mentioned the players on Louisville's roster. Like, looking at the roster, this does not look like a fourth place team or a team that's been having to kind of search to get the fourth place. You still got, we mentioned Sean Toch, Wesley Charpy, the former USF player, is on there. Yep. Amadou Dika, a little guy named Jordan Scarlett, we might remember in their is one of their defenders. I believe he's injured though. I think he might be out, but the quality of guys that they have. Yeah. Niall McCabe is still there. Tyler Gibson is still there. Dylan Mayers. We mentioned Elijah Winder, Paolo DiPiccolo, guys that have had success in the past against rowdies, and the kind of guys that will play up. Ownby, Lancaster, all of these guys. Like, it's, you can look at it and say, well, you know, they're barely in fourth place right now, and there's a sizable gap between them and the top three. It doesn't matter to me. Doesn't really factor into it. And, you know, hopefully our guys, you know, we've talked about it in the past, and I don't know if it fully applies to the situation, but sometimes we've seen the rowdies historically, not just like this year or last year, but in the years past, almost play down to opponents at certain levels. The Hartford game would be one. Like, there were some, just some uncharacteristic moments, uncharacteristic play in that game, I would say. But it's Hartford, and it's Hartford where like 10 or 11 players were ineligible for COVID. You can get away with that against them. You can't against a Memphis who was, you know, even though they were sixth or seventh, wherever they were in the table, they're still a quality team. They have a quality head coach in Stephen Glass. Louisville, same thing. And I kind of meant to ask Mike about this too. Hartford wanted that game postponed, which I completely understand. If I was in their situation, I would want that too. But my big takeaway from it was, you know, number one, there is no time in the schedule.
Nope.
Really, for the Rowdies. I don't know where that's going to work. And it wasn't like playing it's going to be an unfair advantage in terms of goal difference. We're still six goals ahead of Pittsburgh, still have the highest goal difference in the East. It's not a big deal there. Whether we played or if they forfeited, it was going to be 3 points for the Rowdies almost certainly anyway. My big concern, though, was, you know, you can test these guys all you want up to and you know, the day of the game up to including kickoff. But you don't know what's going to happen. There, you know, symptoms may not have manifested. You may not know someone's positive and they're out there and they're asymptomatic. My concern is it's spreading to our players.
Yep.
When we have a stretch of incredibly tough games coming up, and hopefully, you know, I was kind of crossing my fingers on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday that we weren't going to get any news, and I'm still doing it for this week. You know,
but even in roster.
Yeah. Which thankfully we had Lewis Hilton back, like you mentioned. I will say, like, we got the heads up that he was not going to be on the injury report, and I was like, okay, let's, you know, it's been a little while. We had heard through channels that he was likely not going to be coming back for the season because of the setback he had with his injury. That it would be better to shut him down and just let him rest and recover and get ready for next year. As soon as I heard he was going to be available, I was like, well, you're not going to start him. You, even though it's Hartford, you're not going to. Oh no, he's starting. Let me tell you, watching him play, I had no issues with Lewis Hilton starting that game.
Yeah, I mean, first thing I said when I saw that postcard, I'm like, they're not going to play him, right? I mean, we don't need him for this game. We need him for Memphis. Like, we ain't going to do it in this game, right? And they didn't see him in the starting lineup. They're like, okay, I guess we're doing this. Like, all right. It's like, well, and then you see him out there doing the typical Lewis Hilton things. You're like, man, it's good to have him back. You forget how smooth of a player he is and how much he really keeps the flow from side to side, just moving so much better. I mean, crisp passing, hard passes, line breaking passes. And he's unfazed by a guy in front of him or 10 feet from him. He knows where he wants to go with the ball. So just, it felt really good to see him. See him again out there playing and playing well.
And I'm, you know, not at all glad that he had missed much time due to injury, but getting him back right now and at the level he appears to be at, he's going to be extremely fresh compared to guys on the roster already. And also guys that we're going to be playing against in some of these tougher games. Like, that's going to be an asset for Tampa Bay moving forward. I hope we'll probably get a good idea this weekend. Yeah, this is a hard one. I want to say it's a hard one to predict, but I already have a prediction in my head. So, Ben, what do you got?
I would not be surprised at all if this is a tie game, if I'm being honest.
Two draws is what I'm thinking in my head right now, honestly.
That's honestly where I was going to go with it. But you know what? I'm going to take us with a win. I feel like the guys are going to want to they're going to want to make a statement, especially after what happened in Memphis. And the game's at home in front of our crowd. I think the crowd's going to be hyped up. I'm going to go 2-1. But I think this one's going to be very tight to the very end.
Yeah, we'll have a good home crowd. We'll have a good group of visitors. Looking forward to seeing you guys out at the tailgate. Another reason that I love when Louisville comes to town, because that's the Skyway does like the bourbon chicken, and it's usually like a mix of like bourbon and like maybe some Fireball mix. Like it's great food. It's great times. We get a great crowd out there. Come by, meet up with everybody right there at Turn 5 for the St. Pete Grand Prix. Right there, middle of the parking lot. It's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. But I've got 2-2. I just, back in my head, I'm worried that we're going to have some players unavailable, but we're not going to hear about it until, early afternoon on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, so look at, and this is just my simple first grade math. I'm just a big dummy. Don't count on this for anything. But if I did my math right, if we want to stay in the top three, we can afford to drop two games and the remainder of the schedule.
Right.
So, and still stay ahead of Louisville. So, and that guarantees it's a home playoff game. And I realize playoffs are still a good ways away and everything else. But, I mean, we have some wiggle room. Even after this Memphis blunder, there's still every reason to think that we're going to finish in the top two or three. I mean, so as frustrating as this game was this week, guys, remember, I mean, we put ourselves in a great one by having the run we've had these last 5-10 weeks. And getting us this big goal differential and really giving us an honest opportunity to really be at the top. Do we want the number one seed? Is it achievable? Yeah, I think it is achievable, but it's going to be extremely difficult to get it. And at this point, if I had a personal goal, it's to stay in the top three. And I think if my math is right, as long as we only drop two games, we have every reason to believe that we can do that. So, I mean, look, the schedule's going to be tough. We got Louisville, San Antonio, Memphis, Hartford, Loudoun, Pittsburgh, Louisville. I mean, that is a run. That is a run to the end here.
The big ones, keep an eye on. Like these Louisville games are big, but you mentioned a little while ago about getting them here first at this point in the season, which I think is good. And also, we don't go away to them till the last game of the season.
Yep.
Hopefully by that point, you're going to assume that there's a pretty good chance that positions are locked up.
Yep.
We know where we're going to be. Yep. If it comes down to now, and also would not surprise me, though, if it comes down to the last game and we need a win to get first place overall, that wouldn't be a shocker. But especially with that Pittsburgh game the weekend before, that's you're going to have a pretty good feeling, I think, going into that final game, like what spot you're going to be in, regardless of results. So you can rotate some players. You can, do some different things with that game would be the ideal situation. Yep. But yeah, this is the beginning of a pretty serious stretch. Honestly, the most inconvenient game I want to say was the one we just played last night, midweek at Memphis in between Louisville and Hartford, because now you've got, this Saturday, Louisville. Next Saturday, on the road to San Antonio. Saturday after, Memphis comes here. We can get some revenge. We're going to have to travel to Hartford. It's going to be midweek.
Yep.
I think that's manageable. And then you've got Loudoun and before you get your 6-pointer against Pittsburgh on October 7th. By the way, I threw it out there. I know they probably have this planned out in advance, and maybe they're not going to. I would really like to see, since it's our only home game of the regular season in October, I would love it if the casuals did an Oktoberfest theme for that tailgate.
That would be pretty awesome.
I've done some research. Pittsburgh, especially not too far from Highmark Stadium, there are neighborhoods that are just named Dutchtown or Deutschtown because there is a strong German heritage going back there. I think it would be a great thing to do. Plus, I want to see if I can find some green and gold lederhosen for that game and use one of my. That's my hope. That's my hope. We'll see what happens. However,
correct me if I'm wrong. Something that was brought to our attention by the front office. Something that had been asked is the transfer portal. It ends on September 22nd. So, not to say that we're bringing any other players in, but there is a potential if we needed more relief. We do have time. So for anyone wondering that question, we did ask, and it was brought to our attention that it was the 22nd of this month.
I do appreciate it. We know that the front office listens because we'll usually get some notes about questions we've asked on the show. Greatly appreciated having a little research department feeding us the info, which is good. It's helpful. We appreciate it.
It's really helpful, and they're awesome.
We love the club, so we like when that happens. I'm sure there's something we threw in here tonight that we'll get a message about tomorrow, and we can update
for that. Great.
It's great. I wish I was more like free during the day, during the week, to send some of this stuff off beforehand before just kind of throwing it out here recklessly on the show. But
that's what we do.
Work life is not cooperating that way right now. All right, so you're going 2-1 win. I'm going 2-2 draw. Which I'll be okay with that. It's a fair result. Same. To me, the rest of the season is going to like. I feel pretty good that we can get a result against Memphis here. I feel pretty good we can get a result going to Hartford even on a Wednesday. I feel pretty good we can get a result against Loudoun.
Yep.
After this game, it's the trip to San Antonio, and it's Pittsburgh coming here that are the pivotal games for the season. Yep. I would love to get the win in San Antonio. I think you have to at least come out of there with a point.
Yeah.
You need to beat Memphis here. You need to beat Hartford away. You need to beat Loudoun here. And then you see where you're at when it comes to the Pittsburgh game. Who knows? Yeah. Maybe they're going to drop some points between now and then. But we're going to know coming into that game pretty much what we need to do in the final two to get where we need to be. I would to end this season, like, you just number one, you want to – especially now that they have apparently a trophy again for it, for the regular season championship, the Players' Shield, which I still don't know when that started, but okay, it's cool. I like it.
Yeah.
A chance to add something else to the trophy case. But to finish first overall, because that's where what would happen if we did, after the way the season started, after the injuries we've had, after the kind of mid-season disruption of changing coaches. That's a huge statement and a huge testament for these players. So, as fans, like if we're, you know, one or two, maybe three, to me right now, we need to be in that first or second spot going into the playoffs is the ideal situation. But the players have got to have like their eyes kind of on that. That number one spot, just because it says a lot about the work they've done and what they've been able to achieve this season.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I may be on certain players, like for instance, Phillips on today's show, I mean, look, it's because I love that guy and I expect so much of him, you know, and these players have responded in such a way that, I mean, you can't help but just have the utmost respect for what they've done and what they've accomplished with the and this. And yet here we are talking about first through fourth finish at the end of the season. Like, if you had listed off all the issues that we'd have with coach leaving and all the injuries and all the guys down, I don't think anyone would sit here saying, oh, we're talking about a team that's in second place with a game in hand. I don't see how you put those two together. It just doesn't happen. So, I mean, these guys are capable. And the fact is, I don't think there's any reason to think that we can't finish in first place. I mean, yes, we need Pittsburgh to stumble, but I still absolutely believe it's possible. Even with looking at where they're this weekend, you know, and saying it could be a tie. Yeah, it could be a tie, but, you know, respect to Louisville, and, you know, so be it. But that's not because I don't think that we're capable of beating them or that we're not capable of winning out the rest of the season. We are. I mean, look at this. We got Hartford and Loudoun back to back. Thank God we got those two teams back to back on a short week. You know, it could have been Memphis. It could have been Memphis, Pittsburgh, Louisville. I mean, like, talking about a gauntlet. I mean, like, we got to pay them schedule there. Like, we've got a good setup here. I mean, like, the team has everything, has all the tools in their bag to make this happen. So, yeah, to your point, I mean, like, the players have stepped up and really performed amazingly this year.
So, do you want to hear Pittsburgh's remaining games?
Yeah, let's hear it.
We talked about wanting them to stumble. Here's what they've got. This weekend, they are home against Loudoun. Next weekend, they go to Miami. The next 2 weeks after that, they are home September 23rd against New Mexico and then Tulsa. However, that Tulsa game, that's their last home game of the regular season. They spend the 2 weeks in October, the last 2 weeks of the season, on the road. They're going to come to Tampa Bay next to the last game of the regular season, and then they're going to go to Detroit.
What a rough schedule. Good Lord. But you know what, though? Look, to your point, to that point, they're not going to be coming to the playoffs super far either against high-quality opponents either. So, yeah, who knows? Maybe that sets them up for failure. No, I mean, look, I mean, anything's possible.
I don't want to say that they're just going to win all of those games out because, number one, I'm going to back us to win the game here. But, like, Loudon in Pittsburgh, that's probably a win. Miami's been on a pretty good streak so far. Indy took him down, but it took a kind of a late goal from Seba Guinzotti to do it. New Mexico, Tulsa, not the the most powerful opposition. Detroit, same thing. But keep in mind, you know, the Tulsa game and the Detroit game are two of their final three games, and those are two of the three teams fighting it out for that last playoff spot. They are going to go into those games kind of motivated. Unless they've been eliminated, and I don't think either of those teams will be eliminated going. And you know, Miami also is in that spot, so they've got three of the teams fighting for that eighth seed. Hopefully, they've got a lot of fight in them. We'll see.
Well, and guys fighting for roster spots too. I mean, look, they're going to want to prove that they're deserving. If this is going to be the last 2-3 games of this season, they're going to be. Most of these guys are on 1-year contracts. They're going to be looking to get picked up by another team somewhere else. So these guys are going to show up. I mean, nobody's selling out. Nobody's throwing in the towel in the last 2-3 games of the season. I just don't see it happening.
Also, I'd like to point out that even though San Antonio has a and we'll talk about them when we get to the week before that game, San Antonio, their home record 6-1-7. Not dominating. I mean, they've picked up a lot of points at home, but they have a tendency to drop some points there as well, too. They're only 1-1-3 in their last five. So they just drew last weekend with Pittsburgh. It was a 0-0 draw. Or last Wednesday, and then Sunday they went and lost to Tulsa. So they have to go to Colorado on Saturday before we turn around and come in. So who knows? We'll see what happens.
Yeah, anything's possible. Yeah, guys. I mean, let's take care of Louisville this weekend. It's going to be a tough one, but I think it's a very winnable one, and that could be all. That could set all the dominoes in place for us moving into the remainder of the season. So, you know, I like our chances, but it's going to be a game. So, go out, celebrate, be loud, and you know, let's have some fun.
Oh God, I hope I'm able to go because number one, it means my daughter's feeling much better, and that's the most important thing. But also, I want to go. I really, really, really want to go. So, all right. So I will not see you on Saturday either way, but we'll be back next week to talk about hopefully a win, hopefully 3 points, hopefully being first place in the East and in the league overall. Would be nice. Whatever happens, happens. All right, Ben, thanks for joining us. Thanks again to Mike Pendleton. You can go follow him online at @FAT7Deuce. Very good follow if you don't follow him already, but if you're listening to us, odds are you follow him or he's been retweeted into your timeline a ton of times. All right. It's Louisville week. No more bourbon till Saturday. Not playing any ball, not watching any horses race, not doing anything except just having a good old time. You know, they wear purple. We hate that. A year ago today, I was walking towards a different purple team for the Open Cup final. Met up with a bunch of people I'd only known online from Sacramento and ran into Neil Collins outside the stadium.
Small world.
And had a fun little conversation. All right, Ben, I'll see you when I see you. Thanks, yes, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week. Come on, you rowdies.
Bonnie Raddies.
The Raddies from here, the Raddies from there, they kick the ball around. The Raddies from here, the Raddies from there, and then they fall on the ground. Oh, the Raddies, the Raddies, the Raddies are kicking the grass.